Across the Park podcast is proud to be sponsored by Globe Gas and Heating. For the best kitchen and bathroom renovations, boiler servicing and repair, and central and underfloor heating in the Northwest, head over to globecentralheating.com and quote Across the Park for a free quote. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Across the Park podcast. It is the big opposition preview. Another big game comes for the Mighty Blues this Sunday. It's against Chelsea. Charlie would say the real Mighty Blues. I'll argue. We'll get into that. But I'm joined by Charlie from the brilliant Chelsea Fan TV. Charlie, thanks for joining us. How are you?
No, pleasure to be here, mate. I'm not bad, mate. Apart from the football, I can't complain too much.
I've heard that many times from many fans. We've all got, it's all relative to us, isn't it? We go through the ups and the downs. We played Newcastle last night, and just to tell our listeners, we didn't do the instant match reaction. The reason for that is, unfortunately, my house was blistered with sickness. I had two kids to take care of. Judgy did go. He went straight to pub, and I think he's done a little recording, so we'll try and get that out for you to enjoy, but that's the reason there was no instant match reaction last night. I wish I could talk about the Newcastle game because I'm still on a bit of a high. But Charlie, what I want to do is talk about Chelsea first and foremost. What I like about these opposition previews and what I try and do is we always see other teams from a distance and we form an opinion from a distance or through mainstream media. And it's great to get the supporters on and let us know what it feels like on the inside. So I'm going to tell you what it looks like from the outside and you can counter. It looks like chaos. It just looks like everything about you at the minute, whether it be the way you're structuring deals, looks really either clever or dodgy. I don't know which one. You seem to have numerous players. I don't really see a real style of football. I've always thought, when you think Chelsea, you just think attacking hard players who win trophies, and you seem a little bit away from that at the moment. Is that fair? How does it feel on the inside?
Yeah, no, I think it can look from the outside. It can look chaotic. It can look like there's a lack of a plan. I think the biggest problem, like there's a lot of problems right now at the club, but I think the biggest issue, which is probably causing all of them, is the fact that we've basically changed everything, everyone from playing staff to ownership to squad members. Pretty much the whole thing from top to bottom has changed in less than 2 years. And when you're making wholesale changes of everyone in that short space of time, I think you're going to be asking for trouble. Is it an excuse for us to be where we are and how we're performing? No, absolutely not. But when I think, look, as Chelsea fans, we all knew we had a squad clear out was long, long overdue. But I think there's ways of doing it. And it almost feels like we've tried to sort of skip the queue. You know, normally you gradually phase players out. You phase out one or two, bring one or two in. We've got rid of about 14 or 15 in the summer and bought the same amount in. And when you're replacing experienced pros, guys that have done good service for the club, good careers and whatnot, yes, it's probably time for them to move on. Yes, you know, we need to refresh things. But we need to do it all at once. If you're going to be doing that, you need to replace those players with reliable players, with players that, you know, have got a bit about them. And we've gone down the route of bringing in basically players that we think have got a very high ceiling, and we're banking on those players to actually reach for their full potential. But we've got no idea if they're actually going to do that. And so when I look at Chelsea and I see the inconsistencies, you see performances like Manchester City where we were fantastic, but then you see performances like Newcastle and Man United. Like, am I surprised? Well, no, not really, because that's what you're going to get. You've got players like Mikhailo Mudryk, you know, he's played probably less than 60 pro games as a professional. You know, you're looking at players like Nicholas Jackson, who was on the verge of joining Bournemouth in January. This is his third season in professional football and in senior football, and he's leading the line for the club. This is why I cut these players a little bit of slack. Yes, they should be doing a lot better, but we shouldn't be putting this many young and inexperienced players in this position. So whilst the manager's got to take more responsibility, whilst the players have to do better, I think a lot of this is on the ownership as well for the tools that they've given the manager to go and compete with. Everyone knows that Chelsea need to get Champions League football. And look, yes, it's not gone, but I think at the end of this month, we'll very much know whether it's possible or not. You need to give the manager more reliable players, more experienced pros, and we simply don't have that. So yeah, it seems chaotic. You know, I think there is a style of football because we've seen it, you know, against City, we've seen it against Tottenham, we've seen it against Arsenal. Like there is a plan, but the problem is you get it one week, And then the next week, you have an absolute disaster class where everyone to a man is horrendous. Now, I get it. You're not, everyone's not going to play well every week, but you might get one or two, maybe three players that, you know, each week don't play that well. Every time we don't play well, it's the entire 11. That's horrendous. And yeah, mate, there's a lot of problems. And as always with this team, there's more questions than we've got answers for.
I look at Chelsea, and again, this is only from the outside, and I don't know what Chelsea I'm going to watch. If I settle down on Super Sunday, I wouldn't put a bet on Chelsea to win or lose, because there seems to be two different sides. Chelsea, you look at, you rightly said there, I know it was chaos at Spurs, but you were brilliant at Spurs. You were brilliant against Manchester City. I watched that, and it was end-to-end. It was such a good game. And then you look at games like Brentford at home and games like that, and I'm thinking, how are Brentford going to Chelsea winning? Does it feel a little bit like that to you? Like there's two Chelseas at the minute this season?
Literally, like every game I go to as a fan, like I'm going there and I'm thinking, I've got the same as you've just said, I've got no idea what we're going to get. We might get a brilliant performance like Man City, or we might just get an absolutely horrific one, like we've seen at Newcastle, like we've seen at Man United, like we've seen against Brentford at home. You don't know what you're going to get. And I think that, again, is part of the problem as well. And I don't want to keep going on about it, but when you've got so many inexperienced players and so many young players, like, is it really a surprise that we're getting this level of inconsistency? I don't think it is. It's not acceptable, but we shouldn't be surprised by what we're seeing in terms of the levels of inconsistency.
Yeah, that's fair. I wouldn't ask you to speak for all the fans, because I don't think anyone can. But what I will ask is, from your knowledge and your friends who you speak to and where you sit in the grounds, are the fans with the manager?
Look, I think Wednesday night was perhaps a bit of a turning point for some. Not in terms of, you know, we need to get rid of the manager. But like for me, that I had the first doubts after Wednesday, thinking, not necessarily the manager, but what are we is what we're doing here actually going to work? Am I losing a bit of faith in what we're trying to do? And look, I still think long term, maybe over the next sort of two to three years, you know, we could have a very good squad in our hands and a lot of very decent players. But the reality is right now, I think we've put the manager in a difficult position. We've put the playing squad in a very difficult position, because a lot of those players aren't experienced. And a lot of those players right now, if I'm being brutally honest, probably aren't good enough to play for Chelsea. And that's not their fault. They've been bought in because of the potential they've got. But right now, you look at a lot of those first team players and you think they could probably do with going on loan somewhere. And we don't have that luxury to do that. So
yeah.
I think, look, Pochettino has to get more out of it. And obviously, you know, the responsibility ultimately does fall on the manager. But I do cut him a bit of slack in terms of what he's been given. But that doesn't excuse the fact that I think certain games is in-game management's been poor. I think certain team selections didn't make sense. But it's the problems at Chelsea right now are far deeper than just a managerial issue.
That's fair. What do you make? I've got this question. I've got a follow-up question, and I bet you know what the follow-up question is going to be. What do you make of what's happening at my club at the moment with the breach of the FFP, the severity of the penalty, the noise that's surrounding it? From the outside, just as an opposition football fan, what do you make of what's happening at Everton at the moment?
Look, I think, personally for me, I think the amount of points deducted is quite harsh. I'm not going to pretend I'm an expert on the case. I believe it was one breach, and were about, what, sort of 19 million?
Yeah.
It seems pretty harsh for what it is. I don't know if they're using Everton as an example as to set a precedent, potentially, with Manchester City, maybe us, if any charges get brought against us. At the moment, it's just accusations, so we're like, you know, that's being looked at before any charges are brought forward. But I think Everton have been made an example of. But in a strange sort of way, like, I don't know if it's maybe galvanised you a little bit and made you perhaps better than you might have been if you were just carrying on. I know you've started the season reasonably well. And I think a more damning indictment for us is that without the 10-point deduction, you'd be ahead of us in the table. Yeah. So, you know, look, I look at Everton, I think, yes, it was harsh, but maybe it's lit a bit of a fire in them to actually go and put in to play a bit better than they otherwise might have done.
I think what it's done is it's brought everyone together. Now, like every club, not everyone is for the manager, not everyone is for the striker, not everyone is for the captain, and that's normal. This has erased all of that. It's made the fans, the manager, and that playing staff together as one. If this group of players can take a 10-point deduction and keep Everton in the Premier League, that they'll go down as really, really important players in our history. The follow-up question that I want to ask you, you've said there that there's finger pointing, There's no charges, but there's lots of finger pointing at what Chelsea do financially. Is it a little bit of a worry for you to see such a severe penalty for Everton, knowing that there's fingers being pointed at you guys?
Potentially, but I think, again, our situation is different to Everton's in terms of that the charges wouldn't be the same in terms of FFP breaches. I think it's to do with payments being made like sort of back, the kind of backhands, as it were. So instead of money coming from the club to pay agents, it's being paid by intermediaries or whatever you want to call it. Does that surprise me? No, not really. And what I would say is that I'm not defending Chelsea per se, but let's be real. Every football club's been doing this. Let's not pretend that, you know, this is unique to Everton, it's unique to Chelsea, or it's unique to Manchester City. They're just the first ones that potentially have been found out. Everyone's been doing this, which doesn't make it right, but I think it's fair to say that, you know, all clubs have been doing this. Look, Roman was fantastic for us, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend he's a saint. I wouldn't be surprised if these things were true. And ultimately, look, we're talking about things that happened, what, in 2012, 2013. So we're going back over 10 years. And you can obviously open up sort of a can of worms and you'd be like, well, is it fair to punish a football club like points-wise now for something that happened 10 years ago when none of those people are even at the club anymore? A lot of things have moved forward. I don't really know how you retrospectively deal with things like that. But yeah, of course, there's always going to be a worry that something bad could potentially be coming your way.
Before we get to the game, Charlie, I just want to ask about two players and one manager who sort of link us together and just get the Chelsea perspective. I know he's an absolute legend, and I understand why every Chelsea fan loves Frank Lampard. But were you surprised that Frank came back last season? What was the reaction to that amongst the fan base?
I mean, the reaction was like, it was great in terms of, you know, we the season had been awful. We needed a bit of a pick-me-up. It's 10 games to go. You're not going to get any sort of, I don't want to be disrespectful to Frank, but you're not going to get any top-level manager to come in with 10 games to go into the absolute mess that Chelsea is. It was kind of the only sort of person we could have really turned to. Look, the reception he got was fantastic. You know, I was at Wolves away for his first game back. You know, it was horrendous performance, by the way. But, you know, it was great. It was great to see him back in the dugout. He's been fantastic for this football club. But I'll be totally honest, mate, he's a crap manager. Like, I hate to say it, but, like, that's not being disrespectful to him. You know, as a player, absolute legend. Yeah. One of the best to ever do it. I'll be real. As a manager, for me, right now, look, he could turn into being a very good manager. He's linked strongly with the job out in the MLS. I think him and Dean Smith are down to one of the final two for a job over in the MLS. So maybe go away, get some experience somewhere else. But for me, as a manager, he just tactically just isn't there. But look, love him as a player. But yeah, for me, he wasn't good enough. But it was nice to see him back in the dugout again. But yeah, certainly, I don't think we can see it ever again happen.
No, I was shocked to see it because the job he did at the end at Everton was really, really poor. He was found out. He was losing games that he shouldn't have been. There was a game, we lost back-to-back games, Wolves and Southampton at home, and he couldn't react. And I felt really sorry for him when I watched him at the end of last season because he's such a likeable person. And for my football club, he overly reached, and you'll know yourself, Northern and Southerners are very different, and he overly reached out to connect with Evertonians when he came, and he cited that. There's a couple of players that I want to talk about who one's no longer at your football club. I'm not too sure if technically one still is. First one being Ross Barkley. Now, Ross Barkley was a player who came through our ranks and he stood out and he went to the Euros and he went to the World Cup. And what comes with that is the bigger teams come looking and you were the bigger team. And it didn't seem to work for Ross. What happened?
I'll be honest. I'm just not sure that he was good enough. Really, you know, I think ultimately that's the main thing. I remember when we signed under Antonio Conte, one of the first things Conte basically said in one of the press conference. I'm slightly paraphrasing this here, but he basically said he didn't really want him, like in those kind of words.
Yeah.
I looked at Barkley and I just think fantastic young player coming through at Everton. He never got any better from when he was with you boys. He didn't get any better. So it's someone that has a lot of ability, and you saw flashes of it, got good goals here and there, you know, good play and stuff. But really, it's just someone that didn't fulfill their potential or just peaked very, very early. And that was kind of him from there. So look, I don't dislike Ross Barkley. It just didn't work out. And I think ultimately it's because he just wasn't good enough.
And the last player, like I said, I'm technically not sure if he's just on loan or you did come to terms to get rid in the summer. Big Romelu Lukaku, he plays
for your club. He's still on loan. We haven't got rid of it. We couldn't get rid of him permanently. Yeah.
Wow. Well, we loaned him from you back in the day. So 10 years ago, we loaned him from Chelsea, and then we paid you quite a substantial bit of money for him, and he was a fantastic player. But the person, he was the kind of player who would like to score in a 2-1 defeat, opposed to being involved in a 1-0 win. He was very Romelu Lukaku. I saw shades of that at the end at Chelsea. I saw he was very, very selfish with his media, especially when he went to Belgium. He would be quite disrespectful to his parent club. What's your opinion on Romelu Lukaku? Has he got a bit of a legacy at Chelsea, or is that ruined?
No, there's no real legacy, because when he was first at the club, we signed him as like a young 18-year-old from Anderlecht. He didn't really play very much. And then, he went to West Brom, he went to Everton, then he went to U Boys, he went to Man United. We know what he's done. What I would say is, like, I think he's one of those players, right, at the same time, who can be one of the most overrated players, but also one of the most underrated players as well, if you get what I'm saying. The guy's goal scoring record, forget what he's like as a person, forget how he's behaved or whatever. The guy's goal scoring record is phenomenal. He scores goals everywhere he's been. Obviously, he didn't really score goals at Chelsea second time around. He's only here for a season. It was a disaster. So in that respect, a very good player. But I do agree the way that he carries himself perhaps hasn't really worked out for him. I also feel that when we signed him, I don't really think he wanted to leave Inter in the first place. But they couldn't say no to that money. You know, Italian clubs' financial situation is never great. If he had a choice and Inter weren't in the financial mess they were in, he would have stayed.
He'd done the interview, didn't he? But he said sorry whilst he was still at Chelsea.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, look, I guess the intentions were kind of... I don't think he had bad intentions from it, but, I feel that obviously it's not come across very well. Look, the interview was done, I think it was done a while back, but then they released it during a time where we were doing really badly. We'd lost quite a few games. Things weren't going well. You put that into the mix and it just did a bit of an explosion. But yeah, ultimately, it just never worked out. I don't think he ever wanted to come back. Look, he probably is quite selfish. A lot of strikers are. But it's just been a disaster. And it's just a chapter in Chelsea's history where, we just want to forget about it as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Onto the game. We've started the show by saying Chelsea's inconsistencies. You don't know what Chelsea you're going to watch when you turn up to your seat in the ground. I certainly don't know what Chelsea I'm going to watch when I watch you guys. It's my turn to sit in the ground and wonder what Chelsea I'm going to see. And on that basis, I don't know how the game's going to go. I think Everton could do what we've done last night to you, to Newcastle, what we've done to Newcastle. I also can see you doing to us the same thing. How are you feeling going into the game? How do you see it playing out?
I've got no idea. I'll be there in the away end. I don't know what I'm going to see. Do you know what? I wouldn't be surprised. Like, we needed a reaction from the disappointment against Newcastle. We got that to an extent against Brighton. We then go to Man United. Dreadful. We need a reaction. Now, I'm like you. You could turn up and beat us 2-3-0, or it would be very Chelsea-like for us to turn up and win 2 or 3-0. Yeah. And then everyone's like, oh, where did that come from? Like, I've really got no idea. I think it's going to be tough. You were in good form, 2 wins in a row, which I can't remember the last time we managed 2 wins in a row in the league. I mean, maybe it's happened this season. I actually don't know, but I don't think it has. It's going to be tough. Look, Everton home, Goodison Park's a tough place to go at the best of times. We've only got 1 win in our last 5 visits there, I think, first game of last season. We won 1-0. Rest of the time, we've got a poor, poor record there. There's no getting away from it.
It's strange that, isn't it? You have even when you were like the elite, even when you had Mourinho both times and you were winning leagues, you always found Goodison difficult.
Yeah, no, we really have. And I think, look, the midfield battle is going to be key. I think, look, Enzo and Caicedo were dreadful against United on Wednesday night. Gallagher's going to come back. I think, look, that will make some difference in terms of just a bit more energy, a bit more pressing in there. Quality on the ball is not great from Gallagher. It's not awful, but it's not great. But I think that might give us a bit more energy in and around there. But that's going to be really tough. You know, you've got a physical midfield, good players, Doucouré, Onana, Idrissa Gueye. You know, these are good footballers that are physical, going to get in your face. And it's going to be a tough battle in there. And I'll be brutally honest. I don't know if Enzo and Caicedo right now I've got that fight in them to go toe-to-toe with players like I've just mentioned. I think that midfield battle is going to be really key. I think, look, defensively, we're letting in a lot of goals right now, particularly from set pieces as well, which Everton, I think, could use to their advantage. You've got a lot of big guys. You know, I think, look, Tarkowski, Branthwaite, these guys can cause problems from set pieces.
Of course.
it's going to be really, really difficult.
What are you hoping for, Charlie? Because for me, the match day starts really, for me, the actual match day starts when I see the team. So at 1 o'clock when you see your team, what are you hoping for?
Well, to be honest, with the injuries we've got right now and the personnel who are available, I don't think you're going to see an awful lot different in the side from what we saw on Wednesday night. I think Reece James will come back in and start at right back. That'll be a big plus for us. Look, Christopher Nkunku may well make the squad, but he certainly won't be starting, having been out since pre-season with injury. But that could be a boost for us. He might be on the bench. We don't know yet. And then in terms of that, it's going to be very much the same. Look, Amanda Broya may well start instead of Nicholas Jackson. I wouldn't be surprised to see that. But it's just going to be the same. You know, Conor Gallagher will come back in. I'm not sure who will come in for, whether he comes in for Sterling. Does he come in for Mudryk? We know Cole Palmer's going to play. Other than that, you've got this decision at centre-back. Does Thiago Silva at 39 years of age, does he start a third game in a week? He started every game this season, so he probably does. Is it going to be De Sassi or is it going to be Badi Ashil? Does Badi Ashil come back in and partner Silva? You know, does Colwell continue at left back or does Cucurella go and play at left back? You know, defensively, we've got a few decisions to make, but the rest of the team pretty much does pick itself. But with the injuries we've got, you know, if the starting 11 is not really up to it, the bench is poor. You only have to look at the bench on Wednesday night. You know, it's full of guys from the academy. No disrespect to them, but they're not exactly game changers. You look to our bench and there's nothing there right now.
Mm. In the next 3 weeks, as we approach the new year, most teams have six games and some have seven. Does it feel like an important start of run for you? Does it feel like it's an important game that you not need to win, but it's going to be important that you do?
I've been saying the last three or four games, I've been saying it's must win. Not because, you know, it's like we're going to go down or anything like that, but because if we've got aspirations to qualify for the Champions League, which is the aim, I'm not saying they're going to do it, you have to start winning games. And like every time I think, oh, we've won a game, maybe we're going to start and go on a bit of a run here, get 2, 3, 4 wins on the bounce. We then go and lose the next game and then you're starting again. This for me, this period's kind of make or break, not in terms of the manager's future or anything like that, but in terms of whether I think at the end of this month, this run of fixtures, we will know whether we're going to qualify for the Champions League or not. For me, it's as simple as that. We get to the end of this run of six games, we're either in with a chance or it's totally gone. These are really important games. And look, you look at Chelsea, I know we're struggling right now, but you know, you've got you guys away, and then we've got Sheffield United at home, Newcastle at home in the quarterfinals of the Carabao Cup, which I think you boys are still in as well. Yeah. And then we've got Crystal Palace at home. We've got Wolves away Christmas Eve, Palace at home on the 27th, and then Luton away on the 30th to round the year out. Now, normally speaking, look, there's no easy games in the Premier League, but you would expect a Chelsea side to probably be capable of winning all of those games.
Agreed.
Like, but right now, I could, and as we've been saying, we could win all of those games. Equally, you might only win one of those games. Like, you just got no idea what you're going to get. And that's the problem. When you don't have enough reliable players in the side, when you don't have enough, you know, experienced pros, enough, like, a lack of leadership in the side as well. I'm not talking about leadership at the back necessarily. We've got Thiago Silva there. I'm talking about leadership in the front line as well, leadership in midfield. Enzo and Caicedo, both very good players, for sure. Could be two of the best midfielders in, like, over the next few years in football. They absolutely could be. But right now, they lack experience. I look at Enzo Fernandez and I think, a very, very talented boy. He's played pretty much every single game for 2 years for club and country, going back to his last 6 months in South America, Benfica, World Cup, Chelsea. The guy looks fatigued and we're not in a position to play him. We're not in a position to rotate him, sorry. You know, like, guys, realistically, right now, Lavia's still not available. And then, obviously, you know, Ugochukwu injured. We've got Enzo and Caicedo and Conor Gallagher. What do we do if one of those, if Enzo or Caicedo gets injured or banned? There's no one to come in. I know it's like, you know, thinking, hang on a second, how can he be saying that we need to go and spend more money on more players? But ultimately, it doesn't, like, if the players aren't fit, you have got a problem. So I think lack of leadership's a big issue. And this run is absolutely crucial. I've been saying it, you know, for a while now. Like, we could, like, the pressure externally, not from internally from in the club, but certainly the pressure from the fans. I mean, I'm not saying myself necessarily, it depends how it goes, but certainly from some sections of the support. You know, it's going to ramp up big time if we have a dreadful December run.
I don't know from an Everton perspective. I was thinking about this last night, but I know we were after our game, and I knew we were going to talk. I was thinking, is this a good time to play Chelsea because of the inconsistencies and where you are in the league and the noise around it? But something's telling me that that can't last. And there's got to be a moment in time where Chelsea kick on. It's sod's law that the players that you've got, you're going to have to. It can't stay like this. And it might be on Sunday. It might be after Sunday. Hopefully for me, I think Everton going into this, just to give you the blue perspective, I don't know which Everton we're going to get because we've got a very small squad and it's our third game in 8 days. Ashley Young, for instance, is 38. I don't think he can play a third game. Seamus Coleman came back last night. He went off injured. Dominic Calvert-Lewin has only just came back and he'd done 70 minutes last night. So I don't know how we're going to set up. And it makes it difficult for me to offer a prediction. But I still will, because that's what we do. But I'm going to be gracious and ask you first if you can give me your prediction on Sunday, Charlie.
It's so difficult. I'd love to sit here and like, I'll always want to back my team, even though I've seen, you know, poor performances, you know, in the last couple of weeks. I've really got no idea. This is impossible to call, which sounds ridiculous. I know, obviously, in all games, all three outcomes are possible. But like, this really is the case. Like, if I'm being honest, I think it will be a draw. I think it'll be maybe something. I'll go with a 1-1. I just don't think much can change in the space of 3 days from United to the game on Sunday. I'd love us to win, of course, but I think if I'm being honest, I think it'll be 1-1 or something like that.
Yeah, I'm thinking a draw will be a likely result. I just don't know how both teams are going to set up, and I think that will affect both teams internally on the day on how they approach the game. So I'll go 0-0. I think Everton's manager, Sean Dyche, will be happy with a 0-0. I think the fans at full-time would be happy with a 0-0. Whether you guys would is a different question. But for us, it would be 7 points out of nine, if that's the case. It's a really good turnaround, and it should keep us out of the zone. So, Charlie, it's been really great to get you on. I know I'm jumping over on your channel as well to do a little bit for your channel. But what I've done on this video is I've put the hashtag Chelsea on Chelsea Podcast. So if any Chelsea fans have stumbled across this with a bottle of wine on a Friday night and they're in the YouTube hole, go over to Chelsea Fan TV. What have you got coming up, Charlie? What are you all about on your channel?
Yeah, so over on Chelsea Fan TV, it's obviously myself and quite a few other guys. You know, we're doing like all the usual stuff, match previews. We did a fan cams outside the grounds after the games and all that sort of thing, match vlogs as well. So, yeah, there's lots going on over there as well. I've got my own personal channel, which I do quite a lot of stuff on as well, which is on the screen right now at Blue Brother CFC. So, yeah, just over 7,000 subscribers now. So if anyone wants to support my channel personally as well, then feel free to do so. But, yeah, over on Chelsea Fan TV, doing all the usual sort of match day stuff in and around football.
Yeah, any Chelsea fans, head over. The hashtag, the Twitter handle is there, Blue Brother CFC. Any Evertonians who want to check over the channel as well over the next few days, I'm sure Charlie's going to be talking a little bit about Everton. So please head over, give a like, share, and subscribe to that video as well as this. I'm off. I'm heading over to Charlie's channel to do a Chelsea podcast. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you come along with me, guys. But Charlie, thank you for joining the Across the Park podcast.
No, pleasure. Thanks for having me on, mate.